This Week in Retronauts, Megami. To say Megami. Okay, never mind. Hi everyone, welcome to Retronauts episode. I always forget to look up the episode number, but that means you know who this is hosting. That's right, it's Jeremy Parrish, the guy who always forgets to look up the episode number. It's 628. That is not the number of the beast at all. We're way short, but we're getting there. And as part of our approach to the number of the beast, I thought it was time to look at the most devilish of Famicom games, of RPGs, the Megami Tensei series. Really, I think we need to talk about the Shin Megami Tensei series and the Persona series and all those games, but it doesn't feel right, you know, in a show about history and chronology to just jump right into the good stuff. We got to do the groundwork. That's part of video game history too. Getting through the kind of early grind until the good stuff shows up. And I'm not saying that these are bad games, just that you can definitely see what the later games in the series, the spin-off series, if you will, brought to the table to improve on the foundations that we will discuss over the next hour and a half or so. So with me here to talk about the early Megami Tensei games, no Shin, no Persona, just Megami. We have returning our occasional guest that I call in when we need to talk about Westone or other cool topics like that. That's you, Kurt.
Hello, I'm Kurt Galata.
Hello, Kurt. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
And joining us, I think, for the first time on Retronauts, I feels like you should have been on the show sooner, but probably you haven't.
Well, we planned this a while ago.
Something I'm forgetting about. Yes, that's true. Please introduce yourself, newcomer.
It's me, Dia Lucina. Hi, everyone.
Yes, this is a perfect topic for the two of you because you are both well-versed and well-studied in the early history of Japanese RPGs and know a lot about kind of the background of this series. And of anyone I know are the most likely to be able to say something coherent about these two early Famicom games that have never been localized officially, certainly more so than I can. So I'm counting on both of you to save my bacon this episode and make it awesome. So no pressure, but we are going to venture into the dungeon of history to talk about kind of uncharted territory, because really, how many Americans have played Megami Tensei? I feel like it's not very many.
Wild if this had come out back then.
And it was just like at the height of, like, you know, the satanic panic. Like dropping Megami Tensei. Wow. Yeah, that would have been very interesting in America.
Yeah, I was going through the sprite sheets for Megami Tensei 2 yesterday, and I don't think there is another game on a Nintendo system that has more bare boobs in it. I was actually shocked by just how many topless naked women sprites are in, or like beast women especially, are in that sprite sheet. It's remarkable. So there would have been a lot of changes being made to both the visuals and the storyline of Megami Tensei 1 and 2 if they had made it to the U.S. at the time. But bear in mind that the time was 1987. By that point, we had never actually seen a proper RPG on consoles in America, so it would have been a lot of heavy lifting. And when we did finally get console RPGs, they were a lot more, I would say, of the accessible mold. Phantasy Star, Ultima, and, you know, that Dragon Warrior game. This Megami Tensei is much more, like, even from the very beginning, was much more of like a, this is, you know, an RPG for the grumpy old men in the audience, more so than the kids. And not just in terms of all the naked demonesses, but just, you know, thematically and in terms of difficulty and what it expects of players, it's much more, it draws much more on the personal computer heritage of RPGs, as opposed to really going out of its way to make things accessible and friendly for console players. And, you know, in a way, it's remarkable that this series survived and is still running strong and is, you know, kind of grown into one of the top RPG franchises in the world. But it did do a lot of adapting to get to that point. So we're looking at the early games that made no concessions. They just said, you will take these games as they are and you will like them, or you can go away. We don't care. It's a very unrelenting, uncompromising, pure, brutal role-playing gaming. And I respect that. So I have to ask each of you, what kind of experience do you have with the first two Megami Tensei games and with the Megami Tensei, Shin Megami Tensei franchise as a whole? Dia, I'm curious to hear kind of your background here.
Well, I got into it from Revelations Persona, which just looked weird and sounded cool. And it was a Blockbuster one day. And I was just like, yeah, I'll rent this thing. I brought it home and just instantly fell in love with high school students with machine guns summoning demons in what was ultimately just like a straightforward dungeon crawler with, you know, vaguely tactical combat. And so from there, like, I just kind of followed what Atlas was putting out in America. You know, it's like, okay, well, what did we get? Okay, we got, you know, the second part of Persona 2. Second part that we got first?
I think we got
at this point, I can no longer
Innocent
keep track
Sin
of,
but not Eternal Punishment.
Right. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah. And now we have,
and then later on PSP, we got the remake of Eternal Punishment. But they couldn't make Innocent Sin because apparently they lost some of the files for it or something. So we just got like the PS1 dump,
right? That's
of Innocent Sin.
It was flipped around. We got Eternal Punishment in the PlayStation, which was the second part of the game, and then we got the first one. But they did do the remake. Yeah,
right. That's
okay.
Yeah. So I kind of followed on from there, and then it was like, you know, and then we finally started getting like the Shin Megami Tensei. What was it? The Digital Devil Story, I think, was.
Mm-hmm. I think Nocturne came here first.
Nocturne came here first
on PS2. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to remember like the early aughts. Yeah, and so then it went from there, and then I finally started going back and trying to piece together what was available on the emulator and what was actually translated and things like that, and, you know, making sense of it that way. But yeah, that's my history with the franchise.
So a legitimate history, you know, very, very authentic, pretty much from the start. I mean, you skipped Jack Brothers, but I guess that's understandable because who actually owned a Virtual Boy and said, yeah, I want to play this game with the horrible, ugly box art.
The thing is, I played Jack Brothers. I just didn't know. I didn't have like a reference for it at the time.
Oh, okay. Well,
because it was
there. You go. So you really were in on the ground floor.
Yeah. No, I had a Virtual Boy. Loved that thing.
Oh, well, congratulations. One of the few.
Rich kids having yard sales in my neighborhood. That was the way to pick it up because they hated it, and I was like, all right, whatever.
It's the best way to get a lot of Laserdiscs.
Here's $20. Give me your Virtual Boy.
If you'd waited a month, you could have gotten it at Toys R Us for $20. Brand new in box. All right, Kurt, what about you? What's your Megaton tale?
I didn't play the first Persona because I didn't get a PlayStation until Final Fantasy VII came out, and that was sort of from the before times.
Yeah,
I did play Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, and I didn't really get it, which, of course, even at the time, you realized that you were sort of coming in the middle of a story, and they were trying to do your best to catch you up on what the heck had happened in the other game that hadn't come out. So I didn't play it a whole lot. But then it was maybe about 2003, 2004, I was in the dealer's room at Otakon and found Shin Megami Tensei 2 for like $10. I was like, I don't know what this game is, but I think I had heard about it on like the Gaming Intelligence Agency from back then. Like, I'll give it a shot, and just kind of fell into documenting this weird series that had all these links that we had very barely experienced in the English speaking world. And it was a good time to get into it because it was maybe a year or so before it made its proper debut in North America with Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne. And from there, they were making regular PS2 games. So there was, I don't know how many games, 5, 6, 7 of them before.
Yeah,
that.
There were the Digital Devil Saga games, two of those, and the Kazunoa Raido games, there were two of those. I feel that and Nocturne, I feel like those were the ones we got on PS2, but then, you know, we went over to the DS era and got all kinds of stuff there. There were some Game Boy spinoffs. Kids.
Yeah. Revelations. Yeah. That may have been one of the first ones. It was a Game Boy, a Last Bible.
Yeah, Revelations
spin-off.
Of Demon Slayer. Yeah. Yeah, then also the Dimmy Kids. I want to say those came here to Game Boy Advance. Is that right?
Yeah, the Devil Children games. Those were your Game Boy Color games. Because the lineage of monster collecting is Megami Tensei sort of established that, but it was Dragon Quest V that really popularized it in the Japanese consciousness. And then Pokemon came out and just was a worldwide phenomenon. So at that point,
and now everyone is like, oh, that Shin Megami Tensei, it's such a just a Pokemon ripoff.
Yeah.
I love to read that. It always makes me happy.
So at that point, like both Atlas and Enix made their own Pokemon clones, basically.
They say the best things in life are free, but there's actually a secret deluxe tier of best that you can unlock for a few bucks a month. It's Patreon-exclusive Retronauts content, and that includes bonus podcasts every other Friday, weekly mini-episodes by Diamond Fight, Discord access, and more. Here's a quick look at our latest bonus episode, which you can listen to in its entirety by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing at the $5 a month exclusive content tier. If you enjoy what you hear, head over to patreon.com/retronauts and enjoy hundreds and hundreds of hours of exclusive content with more available every week. Your support makes this show possible.